One of the things that that I've encountered, well, no, actually, I'll go back even further. One of the things that I have dealt with myself years ago, I wanted God to speak to me. I wanted to hear God speak. Because these preachers would stand up and they'd talk about, you know, God spoke to me and told me such and such and thus and thus. And, you know, I wanted that. Well, the thing is, I never heard anything like that until after I got married. Well, no, until right before I got married and then afterward. Because at that time, Kathy and I began attending, you know, a full gospel church. And, you know, that's where people would talk about hearing God. Well, when I was growing up, we never heard preachers talking about, well, I was praying the other day and the Lord began to speak to me and He said, we never heard that. In fact, we actually kind of heard the opposite. And God doesn't speak today. That once He gave the Bible, that was it. He stopped. No longer talks. Now, if you didn't grow up in that, then obviously you can't relate to what I'm saying. But I grew up in that. And so, you know, we didn't believe that God spoke anymore because we've got the Bible and that's how God speaks to you is through the Bible. And we questioned anybody who said that they heard God speak. And then when people would talk about these prophecies, you know, like somebody would give a prophecy. And we would think, well, that can't be of God because, number one, God doesn't speak. And number two, if you believe it's God, then you're wrong because there's not going to be any more scripture. And if you believe that God spoke in this thing you're calling a prophecy, well, you're just trying to create new scripture. And that was our position, you know. Well, I learned after hearing enough people speak through prophecies that that's not true. Because all of the genuine prophecies I've ever heard lined up with Scripture. They didn't add to it. They lined up with it. And I began to realize how that God does indeed speak. And years that went by, hearing more and more of these people talking about, well, actually, it didn't take years. Maybe two or three or something like that. I don't know. You know, it's been so long now, I don't remember all these things. But I do remember this. I came to the conclusion, I figured out God does speak. Well, one of the things that convinced me that God still speaks today was learning more about Him. For one thing, He is a loving Father. Well, how many loving fathers don't talk to their children? I mean, it doesn't even make sense. I mean, even fathers that aren't loving talk to their children. Maybe not in a very loving way, but they'll talk to them. So God is a loving Father. See, one of the things you have to learn is that you can't separate yourself from God and make Him this mystical entity that can't be approached. He's God, all right, but He's also your Father if you're born again. And He's a loving Father. This is God is love. It says over there in 1 John. God is love. So understanding Him as a loving Father helped me to understand, yes, He still speaks today. Then also, I figured out He wants me to know His love. Why? I mean, He wouldn't say so much about it in the Word if He didn't want me to know about His love. Well, a father in the natural who wants the children to understand how much he loves them, he expresses that love. He talks to them out of this love. And he wants them to know, Daddy loves you. Well, the same thing with God. He's my Father. Also, He wants us to know His will. Now, listen, you can read the Bible all you want, but there's no book of Bob in here. There's no book of Joe. You see what I'm saying? So you can understand God's general will, but when it comes to knowing His specific will, it's not in here. Now, I'm just going to say something, and, you know, it might kind of ruffle some people's feathers, but I personally believe that one of the reasons a lot of Christians have died over the centuries, been martyred, is because they know God's general will and they act on His general will without knowing His specific will. Here's what I mean. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We've got to reach the nations for Jesus. Praise God. Well, what nations haven't been reached yet? Well, Saskatchewan or something. I mean, or just some country out there, a little bitty country. It's a blip on the map. Well, those people haven't. Nobody's ever been in there and preached the gospel. Well, praise God, we're going to go in there and we're going to preach the gospel because the Bible says go into all the world. And so we make a decision. You know, I'm going to pack up, take my wife, and we go around to churches and raise money for support, and then off we go to Buzzyville land or something. I mean, just some country out there to preach the gospel. And when we get over there, those people don't want us over there. And they kill us. Well, praise the Lord, at my funeral and my wife's funeral and my kid's funeral, we're all there, all the caskets lined up in the church. He was serving the Lord and he became a martyr for Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. And people will, they'll have mixed emotions. They miss me, but hallelujah, he was serving God. What does it mean I was doing the right thing? Let me tell you something. I may have to teach on this someday. Just because God is blessing your life does not mean you're in God's will. That's impossible, Brother Martin. All right, let me ask you a question. Was it God's will for the nation of Israel to have a lost sin nature? Was it? No. But did he bless them? As much as he could. Did he not? So just because there are blessings... Hey! There were pagan nations that got blessed because of Israel. So just because there is a blessing of God appearing in your life, it doesn't mean that you're in the perfect will of God. See, this is confusing to a lot of Christians. It's because we don't study the Word enough. And so you have a lot of people, they know the general will of God, that the gospel needs to be preached, and so they get this idea, we've got to go do that, but they've never received an instruction from God to go to that country, or to go to that country at that time. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm personally convinced that a lot of people, Christians now, have died needlessly, all because they never heard God give them His specific will. What is your specific will for me, God, within the structure of your general will for the body of Christ? Well, that's what I need to know. So he wants me to know his will. And right along with that, when he speaks, he is not speaking to give more scripture. He's speaking what he wants me to know, what he wants us to know. Just like that word we received a few moments ago at the end of the worship. You know, as he was giving that word, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, I don't know, I didn't count, but he said something along the lines of, did I not say in my word? Did I not say? And so basically what he was doing was expounding and expanding upon what he's already said in his word, putting us in remembrance of what he has said. See this? It's not new scripture, but somebody needed to hear that. Whoever it was, they needed to hear that. And so he's not creating new scripture. Now look at Isaiah chapter 30. I'm only going to show you one verse in here, but it's a prophecy. In Isaiah 30, verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. So, let me ask you a question. Is that general will or specific will? It's specific will. You shall hear a word. You're going to know which way to turn. He may want me going to the right and you going to the left. And then the person over here, don't turn. Go straight. You understand what I'm saying? He says, you'll hear a word behind you saying. What does that mean? It means he's speaking. He's speaking. And when you hear this word speaking to you, it's going to give you instruction on what you are supposed to do. Just like God told Abraham, who was Abram at the time, pack up, leave home. Okay, where do I go? I'll tell you later. Just pack up and leave home. That was a specific instruction for Abram. Remember that? Okay, now. God still speaks, and it says right here, you'll hear a word, a voice, somebody speaking. Okay? I wanted to hear this voice. I can read the Bible. I know there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, helps, governments. I can read the Bible. I know these things. I know that the gospel needs to be preached throughout the entire world. I can read this. I know that. So do you. But I want to know where I fit into this. Well, see, the people that tell you God doesn't speak anymore. Now listen to this. The people that say God doesn't speak anymore, where are they getting their instructions? For anything? For their sermons? Where are they getting their instructions for the sermons? For the decisions that they make in their churches, where do they get those instructions? For their ministries, where do they get these instructions? How do they come up with it? Now, I can tell you. Because I grew up in that system, I can tell you. Here's how they do it. If it seems right to you, do it. That's how they come up with it. Because see, if you're raised in a church that tells you God speaks and you need to get in the presence of God to hear Him speak, then you've never heard that kind of teaching. But I heard that kind of teaching. And that's how they come up with it. If it seems right to you, do it. This is one of the reasons why they have committees. Because if it seems right to the committee, this is one of the reasons why they vote. Majority rules. What if the majority's wrong? See what I mean? But if it seems right to you, then do it. And the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. So there are a lot of things that can seem right, but the end thereof is destruction. Meaning it's not the will of God. But I wanted to hear God speak to me. And I've had people over the years, you know, Pastor Martin, I want to hear God speak. Brother Jim, I want to hear God speak. You know, how can I hear God speak to me? God doesn't speak to me. He talks to everybody but me. What's wrong with me? Doesn't He love me? Yeah, He loves you. Well, why won't He speak to me? Well, I don't think it's that He doesn't want to. I think it's because maybe you haven't figured out how to hear. What is it about His will that He doesn't want you to know? What is it about His love He doesn't want you to know? Well, see, He wants to speak. And then inevitably, you might hear something like this. I just wish I could hear God the way they did back then in the Old Testament. I wish God would speak to me the way that God spoke to the people back there in the Old Testament. I mean, man, everybody was hearing God back then. That's not true, but that's the way it seems when you read. Listen, you have to understand, the Old Testament covers 4,000 years of human history. That's a lot of human history. And there are a lot of humans making up that history. And when you read through the Old Testament, all you're doing is reading who God did speak to. He doesn't identify the other, you know, 12 billion people that He didn't speak to. You understand what I'm saying? So it can be misleading when you just read it and God spoke to and God said and God spoke to. And it's like, well, He's talking to everybody back then. Well, I sure wish He'd talk to me like He talked to them back then. Well, let's think about this. Let's find out how God spoke to people. Start in 1 Samuel chapter 15. How did God speak to people in the Old Testament? Well, in 1 Samuel 15, in verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. Okay, now Saul wanted to know what God had said. So what did Saul do? He waited for Samuel to begin to speak. See this? And once Samuel spoke, Saul then knew what God was saying. In other words, Saul wasn't hearing God himself. He was dependent on somebody else. Let's look at another place. 1 Kings chapter 22. And here in this chapter, 1 Kings chapter 22, take a look in verse 1. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Now look here, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Okay, we want to know what God has to say about this. Inquire ye of the Lord. Now, if somebody were to say that to you, what would you do? Well, hopefully, you'd drop to your knees and start praying. Or you'd say, well, let me go and pray about this. Hopefully, that's what you would say. All right? So now, Jehoshaphat has said to the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Now look what he did, the king of Israel. And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, or in addition to these, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Well, then they go and they send for Micaiah to have him come. Now, here's the point I'm making, point I'm getting at here. These guys wanted to hear from God, did they not? But they realized they could not hear from God on their own. See this? So what they did was call for who? The prophets, right? And he gathers 400 together. He trusts them. What does the Lord say? Shall we go to battle? Yes, go to battle, you'll win. And Jehoshaphat's not convinced. After 400 say do it, he's not convinced. It's almost like, you know, this came too easy. Something about this isn't right. Is there anybody else? Well, there's one. I'll go get him. And as soon as the king of Israel says, yeah, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good. I'm sure Jehoshaphat thought, this is the guy we need to hear from. He's hearing God because the king of Israel's no good. So they would call for these prophets. Now, look in Ezekiel, or 1 Samuel chapter 10, rather. 1 Samuel chapter 10. So they would call for prophets, and when they would call for prophets, they would ask them, okay, what does the Lord say about this, and what does the Lord say about that? Okay, now how did these prophets get this information? How do they get these words from God? All right, we're going to see an example here. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 10, okay, let me give you the background on this. Saul has just been anointed to be the king of Israel, all right? And Samuel has done this, and now Saul is leaving Samuel's presence. And in chapter 10, verse 10, when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him, Saul, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, what is that? It's come unto the son of Kish. Is Saul also among the prophets? Meaning, we know that the prophets hear from God. Has Saul become one of the prophets? Well, how did Saul do this? Well, the answer is right here. It says that the Spirit of God came upon him. See that? But it's obvious that the Spirit of God didn't stay. You say, well, how do you figure that? Because later on, Saul has to wait for Samuel to speak. If the Spirit of God had stayed on Saul this whole time, he would never have had to rely on Samuel to give him a word from the Lord. You see this? So the Spirit of God came upon Saul. Let's look at another place. Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. And look here in verse 5. And Ezekiel's writing this, speaking this, he says, and the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak, thus saith the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. So now Ezekiel is saying something similar to what happened with Saul. He's saying, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and he gave me this word to speak. Now, let me ask you a question. If the Spirit of the Lord had not fallen upon him, would he have heard anything? No. Now, there are other passages throughout the Old Testament that are similar to this, where it talks about the Spirit of the Lord came upon somebody, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon somebody, and they begin to speak, or they begin to prophesy, and so forth. Now, look over in 1 Samuel chapter 3. So we see that the only way the people could hear is basically through the prophets. And the prophets heard, or received a word from God, only when the Spirit came upon them or fell upon them. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and take a look here in verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now, this word precious is kind of misleading the way it's written here in the Old Testament. The reason it says it's precious is because it was rare. It was rare for anybody to hear from God. It was rare for anybody. Eli wasn't hearing. Nobody was hearing from God. So it was precious because it was so rare that anybody would speak. And therefore, it was highly valued if God ever did speak. Now, what does that tell you? It tells me there weren't a whole lot of people around that God was moving on. Very simple. Well, look in Amos chapter 8. In Amos chapter 8, look what God says. We'll just kind of pick this up in the middle. And this is a part of judgment. In verse 11, God says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land." Now look at this. "Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." You see that? In other words, God says, and you can go back and read this whole thing later on, what God is saying is, you guys don't listen to me anyway. I've sent prophets, and they've tried to warn you, but you won't listen. So you know what? You're going to have a famine. Oh, you'll have plenty of food and water. That's not the issue. But I'm not going to speak to you. It's going to be a famine of the word. In other words, the word will again become precious in the land. Rare. Hardly ever experienced. Okay, now. This is how it worked in the Old Testament. Okay? See that? Now, let's find out. Are we living in the Old Testament or are we living in the New Testament? Well, we're living in the New Testament, right? Well, let's take a look here in the New Testament at some of these things. First off, when you start reading, okay, if you read the Old Testament and you'll see many, many, many verses along the lines of all that we've read relative to how people got a word from the Lord. The prophets, the Spirit would move upon the prophets and so on and so forth, okay? All throughout the Old Testament. Start reading from Matthew and read from Matthew all the way through the New Testament. And here's what you're going to find. The pattern of the Old Testament is not repeated in the New Testament. There is a change in the way things happen. There is a change in the way people hear God. Now look in Hebrews chapter 8. And we'll see God speaking. Of Hebrews chapter 8, what we're going to read here is the writer of Hebrews really quoting from the prophecies in the Old Testament. And it's speaking of the Old Covenant or the Old Testament versus the New Covenant or the New Testament. Now look at this. In verse 7, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." In other words, if the first covenant was good enough for everything that God wanted, then you wouldn't have needed a second covenant. "For," verse 8, "finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days." Okay, now after what days? After the days of the first have ended. "After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind." Now stop. Now think about this. What he's getting ready to say. After those days, after the days of the first covenant are over, after the completion of the first covenant are over. And he's speaking about the law of Moses. And he's saying, look, there's going to be a change. Now, what I'm going to do is tell you what's going to happen after this transition has taken place. For one thing, I will put my laws into their mind. Okay? Now, they knew the law under the old covenant, okay? But they didn't know it the way he's talking about here, because if they knew it the way that he's talking about here, then this would have been included in the old covenant, not the new. And he's saying, look, when the new has been established, here's going to be the result of the new. It's not going to be like the old, because under the new, I'll be able to put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Or another way to put that is a family. And, now look here. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Why not? He says, well, here's why. Because under the new, all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. See this? Let me paraphrase it. Under the new, the people will not have to rely on the prophets and the Holy Ghost to come upon them for a word to be given to them. Under the new, they all shall know me. Do you see this transition? In other words, God, what he's saying here is, it won't matter if you're a pauper on the streets or a king on the throne, from the least to the greatest, every single one of you shall know me. See here? That is completely different from the way it was. Now, we can also include this. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. In other words, I don't have to depend on a prophet to come by and give me a word from the Lord. He's saying, you want to hear from me? No problem. You can hear from me, from the least to the greatest. Every single one of you. You don't have to go to every camp meeting hoping that the prophet's going to call you out and give you a word. That's what they did in the Old Testament. Now, it's not wrong to receive a word from the Lord through a minister. We know that. But the thing is, under the new covenant, which is what we're part of, we all know him, or we can know him, from the least to the greatest, meaning I don't have to sit around and hope God speaks to me through somebody that the Holy Ghost chooses to fall upon for a particular moment in time. Everybody shall know me. Or everybody shall have the opportunity to hear me when I speak. Okay? Well, and that brings up a question. How does he speak? I mean, if he says I can know and I can hear, then I want to... How does he speak? We'll look over in Matthew chapter 10. And Jesus is teaching about what is to come. He's teaching about, really, kingdom principles here. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. Now stop right there. Here's how we know this is prophetic about the kingdom. None of this happened until after Jesus was gone. You see this? None of this happened. Now, listen, not one disciple or apostle was beaten or imprisoned until after Jesus completed his work on earth and ascended to the Father. Only then did they experience this. And he says, beware of men that deliver you up to the council, scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father, now look here, which speaketh in you. You see that? So this is a prophecy of what it's supposed to be like in the kingdom. Now he just said, under this new covenant, everybody's going to have the opportunity to know me, or to be taught of me, to hear my voice. And so, again, speaking in a prophetic nature, he's saying, when this time comes, don't worry about what you're supposed to say, because it will be the Holy Spirit in you speaking, telling you what to say. So how is it that people are going to hear? The Holy Spirit coming upon, we're speaking within. Speaking within. See the difference? Look at another place. Hebrews chapter 16. No, I don't think so either. John chapter 16. El Boo Boo. John chapter 16. Well, bless God, I'll just write a Hebrews 16. Hallelujah. We'll get one in there by next week. John chapter 16. Jesus says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Okay, now, where is He going to speak these things? Who's He hear them from? Well, the Father. But where is He going to speak them? Inside. See? Inside. Just like Jesus told us over there in Matthew. The Spirit will speak on the inside. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And take a look at what Paul wrote describing this in verse 7. He says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." So now I'm speaking things that before had been hidden. Now jump down to verse 13. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Okay, so I'm speaking or I'm teaching the wisdom of God in a mystery, those things that were hidden, but which God ordained before the world unto our glory, meaning He wants me to know them. So, how do I get to know them? Well, this is how we teach those things. We get them by virtue of the words that man's wisdom doesn't teach, but which the Holy Ghost does teach. All right? In other words, we spend time praying in tongues in the words that the Holy Ghost has given to us, and we come to the place of understanding these mysteries because He is speaking them in us. Then we turn around and we teach them to you because God ordained for us to know these things. Well, this is confirmed over in chapter 14. In verse 2, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." See this? So as I'm praying in tongues, I'm in communication with God, divine communication with the Father. And the Father, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is able to speak to me those things that I'm supposed to know. Those mysteries that I'm supposed to understand. The mysteries of His Word, the mysteries of His will, and so on and so forth. But the thing is, it's now coming from within. It's not coming from without. I don't have to sit around and wait for the prophet of God to show up. And as long as I'm not convinced that God doesn't speak today, then I'll pursue this relationship knowing full well that as I begin praying in the Spirit and keep praying in the Spirit, that one of the things the Holy Spirit's going to do is begin to speak to me. Now, let me say it like this. Sometimes He speaks from the perspective of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes He speaks from the perspective of the Son of God, Jesus. Sometimes He speaks from the perspective of God. You say, well, how can He do that? How about because He's God? There's no difference between Him, the Father, and the Son. He's God. But He'll speak to you. See, this is part of what was missing that whole time under the old covenant. God couldn't do this. He had to move by the Holy Spirit for a particular moment, a particular season, a particular event. But all these people that God wanted to communicate with, He couldn't communicate with them because He didn't have the ability, if you will, by virtue of the fact that they had a lost spirit. They weren't born again. Now here we are, born again. And the moment we allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we begin to pray in tongues. Every one of us individually can begin to hear God and begin to be taught of God, to learn the things of God, so that we can grow in God and grow in this relationship. Put another way, every one of us can hear the Father. We can hear God speak. Every single one of us. The Holy Spirit is like our prophet. Now, I'm just using that in reference to the way that God moved in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would move upon the prophets and they would speak. He didn't move, they didn't speak. Well, now we don't have to wait for that. The Holy Spirit is on the inside, see? And He will speak to us. Now, here's the thing. If you don't spend time, there's never enough. If you don't spend time praying in tongues, you are not going to get to the place of being able to clearly hear God speak. I know people have fussed about this. Are you telling me that God won't speak to people who don't pray in tongues? No, what I'm saying is, it's going to be a whole lot easier for you to hear His voice. Because the more you pray in tongues, the more the Holy Spirit's going to help you distinguish the difference between God's voice and somebody else's voice. You'll hear Him speak. Listen, I don't know about you, but I know what it's like to carry on a conversation with God. Well, God, what do you think about? Well, some of blah, blah, et cetera, you know. Well, you know, I'm thinking, well, okay, but, you know, well, God, if I went in Him, I mean, just like you're talking to somebody else. I know what that's like. Well, yeah, Brother Martin, but you're special. You're special, Brother Martin. I mean, you're the pastor. You better learn how to talk with God. If I didn't know how to hear God, I wouldn't be a pastor. Because I didn't choose this. Hear me. I was choosing something else. I didn't choose this. But He began to speak. And thank God I knew how to hear Him. And if you will pray in tongues, you'll get to the place to where... Listen, let me tell you something, guys. One of the worst things you can do is make up your mind that you can't hear God. Now listen to me. You've got to make that decision to pray in tongues, okay? So I'm making an assumption you do that, all right? Well, No, I don't want to hear your idea. I'm making the assumption you do this, all right? It's foolish if you don't. Pray in the Spirit. You're not going to find anything in Scripture that says don't pray in tongues, but you're going to find a boatload of stuff that teaches you to pray in tongues. All right? Take a hint. Now, if you keep saying, I can't hear God, you know what's going to happen? You won't hear God.
I pray in tongues, but I still can't hear Him. I just can't hear Him. I pray in tongues, but I can't hear Him. He ain't speaking.
Yeah, He's trying to. But you've got yourself convinced you can't hear Him. And He is speaking to you. Listen, it's impossible to pray in tongues and not eventually hear God. The roadblock will be you. Satan can't keep you from hearing God. Okay, let's think. Think about it. Natural example. In a room full of 50 kids, making all kinds of noise, playing, throwing things at each other, pulling each other's hair, you know, just 50 little 7-year-old kids, 5-year-old kids, having at it. Daddy walks in the room, stands behind a partition to where none of these kids can hear him, and he yells out, Johnny, come over here. Do you know who knows who's speaking? One kid out of the 50 knows who's speaking. Why is that? Because Johnny has spent his entire life, all 5 years, hearing the voice of his father. And he knows his father's voice. All the rest of those kids,
who's that? Who's that? Is that your dad?
That's my dad. Because he knows. It is impossible as a child of God to spend time praying in tongues and not get to the place to where you will begin to hear your Father speak. It's impossible. Unless you keep saying, I can't. And keep saying, well, He doesn't. Or He won't. Or I'm not. If you keep believing what God has said in His Word, what I've shown you here tonight, and you keep praying in tongues, you're going to start hearing Him speak. He'll talk to you. And when He talks to you, trust me, every word that comes out of His mouth is meaningful. God never wastes a syllable of speech. Not one. And when He begins to speak to you, What he's going to do is a number of things. He'll help you understand Scripture and so forth. But more directly, he's going to help you to understand his specific will for your life. You know, I have a teaching series entitled, God, What is Your Plan for Me? One of the things that the Holy Spirit's going to do is teach you the plan of God for you. All right? The general will of God is revealed in the Word of God, but He'll teach you God's specific will for your life. And one of the things that that I make mention of is the fact that, well, let me say it. I'll just kind of restate it differently. We teach kids as they're growing up, you got to do good in school, got to do good in school. Why is that? So you can go to college. Well, why do I need to go to college? So you can get a, have a good career and make money and provide for your family and blah, blah, blah. Go to school, get a good education and so forth. And so the kids grow up thinking, got to do good in school, whether they do good in school or not. You know, got to do good in school. Dad, mom, pressure, grades, and so, you know, they're looking, what college, where are you going to go to college after you graduate? Well, I don't know. Well, you better hurry up and figure out. I mean, you graduate in 5 days. Let's get busy on this. Education. Now, I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christian homes and the body of Christ. All right? Now, for those of you that grew up in a Christian home, how many of your parents taught you to hear God? None of you. I didn't. They told me to believe in God, get born again, so on and so forth. But we were never taught how to hear God. We were even taught He didn't speak. What chance do we have? So what we do is we tell kids, get an education, go to college, get a good job, get a career, you know, figure out what you want to do with life, provide for your family, etc. and so forth, right? That's the biggest mistake you can make in your life, parents. You know what you need to do? You need to be training your children how to hear the voice of God. Once they hear the voice of God, they're going to know what they're supposed to do. Well, I always thought I wanted to be a policeman or a firefighter. Or I want to be an astronaut. You know, I mean, whatever. Or, yeah, I want to be a nurse. What if God doesn't want you to be an astronaut, a firefighter, a policeman, or a nurse? What if God doesn't want you going to college? Brother Martin, how can you say such a thing? Now, wait a minute. I'm not God. What if God doesn't want the kid going to college? Jesus didn't. Peter and John didn't. And Scripture records they were criticized for it. How does Jesus know these things? He's a man without letters. And Peter and John, the Pharisees, they perceived that Peter and John were ignorant men. Yet they took note that they had been with Jesus. What if God doesn't want your child to go to college? Well, Brother Martin, what are you going to do in life? Precisely my point. You haven't taught them how to hear God, and you don't know how to hear God. Because if you knew how to hear God, you wouldn't sit around and think, what's the kid going to do? You'd already know that the kid is supposed to follow the direction of God and do the will of God, and you'd be training that child how to hear the voice of God. You see this? You say, so you're opposed to education? No! Because if God wants the kid going to college and the kid knows how to hear God, the kid's going to know what college to go to. See what I'm saying? God will say, you need to go to UCLA. But that's 3,000 miles away. God's going to say, and the problem is what? God's going to say, you need to go to University of Hawaii. I'm on my way. I'll pack tomorrow. You see what I'm saying? If you learn how to hear God, you're going to know what college you're supposed to go to. It's not going to be a problem. He'll help you with a career choice. See this? But if you don't know how to hear Him, how will you know these things? And so, as Christian parents, you know, we don't teach, I didn't teach this, you know, to our son as he was, because I didn't know back then. What are you going to do with your life? Well, I don't know. Well, you better figure out. In other words, it's all on us. We better figure out. I mean, what if it was like that with Jesus? You know, there's Mary and Joseph. Well, son, what are you going to do with your life? Jesus, I don't know. Well, you know, you need to go to college, get an education so you can provide for your family. I don't even know if I want to get married. Now, son, you know. that we have to have kids in this family. Can you imagine that? Well, I tell you what, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be a dentist. Son, that career's not been invented yet. You're going to have to pick something else. We better thank God Jesus knew how to hear the voice of the Father. We better thank God that Paul knew how to hear the voice. We better thank God. Are you following what I'm saying here? And see, every single one of us, we can hear the voice of God if we start spending enough time praying in the Spirit. This is part of His responsibility, is to help us on a spiritual level learn how to hear the voice of God. And here's people that hear this kind of teaching. I've taught this kind of thing, you know, numerous times. But people that hear this kind of teaching and yet repeatedly come back with, well, I just can't hear God. Well, I just can't hear God. I have mercy and grace, but little patience. Maybe it's a contradiction. I'm saying that for impact. But for me, it can be frustrating. Because how many more times do I have to teach on this before you figure out I'm not lying? How many times do I have to keep teaching on this before you figure out that just pray in tongues and the Holy Spirit works in you, remember, we just saw this, in you on a spiritual level to help you hear on a spiritual level the voice of Almighty God. To reveal to you His specific and perfect will for your life. And He'll teach you how to train your children in the way they should go. Part of that thing about training a child in the way he should go means training that child to pray in tongues, so when that child is old, he'll understand more about the will of God. See? Okay, now think with me. You take a child that's newborn, and you begin speaking the Word of God into their life. Begin speaking the Word of God into their life. Newborn. You know what you're doing? You're having an impact on their spirit. The more that you do that, the more you increase the odds of that child making a decision for Jesus as soon as that child understands about making a decision for Jesus. And then you speak the word to them about praying in tongues. Well, when you accept Jesus Christ, I mean, you're holding them with the bottle in their mouth, all right? You're burping them over your shoulder. You're cleaning up afterward. And the whole time, you're speaking to them. Now, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you'll need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to pray in tongues. You're speaking this, and you're speaking the will of God into their lives. See? And grandparents, you can do this. Even if your child got goofy and now says he's an atheist, is married to a woman that says she's an atheist, and they say their kids aren't going to be raised in church, blah, blah, blah. But when you've got them, you don't have to tell the kids you're speaking the word of God into their life. You don't have to. And if the kids get mad about it later on, when they find out, you're going to quit? Well, you're right. They're your children. I have no right to speak the word of God into their lives when they're in my house. Wimp. That child gets born again, filled with the Holy Spirit at a young age, and you teach that child to pray in tongues. Praying in tongues together, okay? Do you think that kid just might have an edge on us as we were growing up? You better believe it. You think if that child learns how to pray in tongues and praise in tongues as that child is growing up, that by the age of 12, you think it's possible for that child to know the call of God upon my life? I'm called to be a pastor. I know what school I'm supposed to go to, or I know I'm supposed to go to college. Don't know which one yet. I'm supposed to go do this one. Or I know what career I'm supposed to have, or I know what I'm supposed to... You think by age 12, they won't have at least some kind of inkling about where to go? And do you think that if they do this, you keep training them and you keep leading them in this direction, like Scripture says, the way they should go, by the time they're 18, ready to graduate, you think it's possible they're not, I mean, you think they'll know everything they're supposed to do for the next few years? I mean, as far as this is the career I'm supposed to pursue, this is the calling, this is the college, this is what, this is, you think they're, sure they will. Sure they will. And here we are today. Yeah, we're past all that. You know, the 18 years old, got to know that kind of thing. We're past that. But God will still speak to us by the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us. Put another way, it's not too late. I don't care how old you are. Those of you listening to this, I don't care how old you are. Well, yeah, but Brother Martin, you don't understand. You know, I'm 60 years old. I know people will beat you up for calling 60 old. Here's the thing. God sat up on His throne, and He's watched from the day you were born. He sees when you were good, and He sees when you were bad. He knows your ups, and He knows your downs. He knows everything. And He has sat on His throne and waited for 60 years for you to get to this point to where you finally understand to pray in tongues, to hear His voice. Now, do you know what this means? That means as God sat down and designed your plan, His will for your life, He's writing this out, okay? Till computers came along, then He could use computers. He's writing out His plan for your life included the fact Bob will not start praying in tongues until he is 60 years old. At age 60, I will begin revealing to him what I want him to do. He will understand and so on. With me? In other words, if you think it's too late, it's because you're counting yourself out. God already knew you were going to be this age before you heard these things. So His plan is already in motion for you. Now see, all we have to do then is start praying in tongues. Hey, listen, you don't think Satan comes at me?
Look at you. Look how old you are. Look at you. You didn't start doing anything for God until you were late, old, and everything. Look at all these young whippersnappers, 30 years old, pastoring these big churches. You ain't got nothing. Who do you think you are? Yeah.
Worst thing I can do is say, you're right. I ain't nothing. I said, shut up, man. God knew what I was going to do. He knew when I was going to step into this. He knew. Could I have done it earlier? Yeah, but I didn't know. For whatever reason, doesn't matter. Didn't know. Now I do. So I have to do this. God speaks to me. Praise God. He speaks to me, His Son. And every single one of you, if you want to hear God's voice, if you want to, you can. The more you pray in tongues is the more the Holy Spirit is working with and conditioning your spirit to hear God speak. And as long as you don't buy into this, I can't, I won't, He doesn't to me. As long as you say, yeah, I can hear, I'm learning to hear the voice of God. As long as you do this, you're going to start hearing Him speak. You don't have an option. You will begin to hear Him speak. And one of the things that you need to do when He begins speaking to you is write it down. You take your pen or your computer and you document what He says. But what if I make a mistake? What if it's not Him? You'll know. How will I know? How will I know? What have we been talking about all night? You'll know. And if there's something that you question, God, is this really you? Just finish writing it out and come back the next day, pray in tongues some more as you reread it and ask Him to correct anything that needs to be corrected. He can do that. That's why He invented the delete key on the computers. Hallelujah. He can do this. The point I'm trying to make is this. Every person who's born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, prays in tongues. You can hear. In fact, God's will is for every Christian to hear His voice. Every single one of us. Accept this. Start praying in tongues and get ready to hear your Father talk. He will show you things to come about you. He will reveal to you aspects of your life in Him you never knew before. He will begin to show you every step that you're supposed to take into the completion of His will for your life. I'm telling you, I didn't used to. I did not believe that God spoke today. Now, I know He does. Take it from somebody who's been there. It's a process, but you learn it. He speaks, And praise God, you rejoice. Hallelujah. Pray in tongues and hear your Father. Amen.